Acts chapter 14. Missionaries. I like it when someone like Nelson Doar or Steve Harris or Travis Medeiros or Brother Trell or any of them come to our church and stand up and tell us what God has done. The book of Acts, we sometimes call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a book of action. The Acts are a book of action. Things happening. God doing things. Folks, God wants to do things. We limit Him. We limit Him when we don't follow, or when we won't serve, or when we are not doing what He wants us to be doing. But when we let Him have His will in our life, He'll do great things. Now, this is an exciting passage. You know, I won't be long tonight. We've got two important things to do after the message. But there are, in verses 21 through 28 of chapter 14, it's the end of the first missionary journey. Now, they didn't go very far, at least not in our terms. But if you'd have gone with them, you'd have thought it was a long way. They had gone over to Cyprus by ship, and then they had sailed up north to Turkey. They'd gone into Turkey 100 and some odd miles, and then they turned around and came back, and they came back to Antioch, which was north of Israel. And they did that in a short period of time. It wasn't a long journey, but they've got some things to report. I got to ask you this question to start tonight. What do you have to report? Has God done anything in your life? Yesterday, some folks went out, as they do every Saturday, and they went and knocked on some doors and witnessed to some folks. They had something to report. God gave them some fruit. This week, we're going to have vacation Bible school. There will be some things to report. That's the good news. I got some other news. I won't call it bad news, but there's a phrase that you need to pay attention to in verse 22. It says, through much tribulation. We don't like tribulation. But God has a purpose for it, doesn't He? And this week, some of us, the closer you get to the ministry, the more familiar you are with, we'll just use the other word, the troubles that we face. And those troubles can be from people. Those troubles can be from circumstances. Those troubles can be spiritual. But we are in a battle, and so there's going to be tribulation. So these fellows, as they return, and we see that happening here. It's the very end of their missionary journey, and then the return to Antioch. They're going to describe what's happened, and they're going to give the report of their results. And then they're going to rest a while. And then we're going to have in chapter 15 a little interlude where there is a doctrinal controversy in the church in one of the churches, and we'll talk about that next week. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and I'm going to read the last few verses here in Acts chapter 14. We'll have a word of prayer beginning in verse 21. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says, when they had preached the gospel to that city, that's Derbe probably, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Amen. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Father, please bless us tonight as we read the end of Paul's first missionary journey and see the events that accompanied that and see the report that he gave. I pray that we'd remember that each of us is going to have a report to give one day. But even week by week, day by day, this week we'll have reports to give. will have opportunities to share what you have done. Lord, we know that you have to do the work, and you simply would use us as tools, as vessels fit for the Master's use. Make us so, we pray. Please bless us tonight as we look at these few verses and then the events to follow. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You believe it? He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. We are totally dependent upon him. And the good news is, that way, when you realize he's the one that does the work, he's the one that gets the glory. And all the glory belongs to him. So Paul makes that very evident when he comes to this time of reporting, and that's the last of my 3 points. Really, the second of them is the reporting. But they are beginning in the very tail end of their missionary journey, and you'll see some things about this. For example, you'll notice that in verse 22, he makes that comment about much tribulation. And remember what's happening in verse 22. They've gone to these cities, and they have seen some souls saved, and now there is an act of, he uses the word confirming, the souls of the disciples. Okay, first of all, when you get saved, you became a disciple. Amen? And we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to teach us. And the word confirm here is two words. The English teachers here would help me out with this, but it's a prefix con, which means with, and firm. You know what that means. It's to strengthen. Folks, we need to strengthen believers, especially new believers. We were talking about this morning in the prayer meeting. Sometimes we're discouraged or saddened by the fact that people will make a profession of faith and then they seem to drop out of church. And that's the devil doing that, and they shouldn't let him do that, but we should do what we can to stop it. But when you stop coming to church, you know how it is. When you come to church, the Lord strengthens you, and he speaks to you, and he encourages you, and it's a place to serve, and it's a place to participate and have fellowship, and we strengthen each other, and it's very important to be part of church. And so when they went to confirm these folks, they understood something, and that is, once somebody gets saved, that's not the end of the process. That's the beginning of a process. And folks need to be strengthened. I encourage you, when you see somebody new in our church get saved or get baptized especially, don't just assume, well, you know, the pastor will keep track of them. I do keep track of them, but you should be praying for them and keeping track of them also. And when folks aren't here, I notice it very quickly, and you do too. Give them a call. Send them a text. There's a man in Salt Lake City that was saved. He was a car dealer. Car dealers can get saved. And he got saved. His name's Jim. And there's another man in that church up there, and I haven't talked to him in years and years. His name was Bob. But when Jim came and visited the church and got saved, Bob kind of took note of him. And these are real people, real names. And because Jim told me this story later, and what would happen was, Jim, if he missed church, Bob would call him. Now, you had to know Bob to appreciate this, but Bob would say quite seriously, hey, where were you today? You should have been in church. We missed you. And he had a kind of a serious way about him. And Jim told me, he said, you know, he said, I needed that because I knew if I missed church, Bob was going to call me, and I didn't want Bob to call me. So I made sure I went to church. That's okay. Amen? You know, this is the right place to be on Sunday. And on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And if someone's not here, something's wrong. I don't know what. But I look out sometimes and I see people missing and I think, I wonder what's wrong. Was it last week the Sanchez family was ill? And in Sunday school, I noticed that right away. Those folks are always in their place and today they're not. Something must be wrong. Well, it turned out they were ill and God brought them back. But the confirming is not something that just Paul did. We need to do that. We need to be confirming others in the faith. Keep them going. Strengthen them. So he went to these disciples in verse 22 on his way back to report to the church in Antioch. And there's different Antiochs here, by the way. Antioch is named after Antiochus, and there's a bunch of cities with that name, so don't get that mixed up. There's one in verse 21. There's one in verse 26. They're different places. So confirming the souls of the disciples in verse 22 and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Hey, don't quit. Keep on going. What would make somebody quit? Well, he's going to mention one thing right here. He says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I put the verse on the back of the bulletin. I think I put it on the back of the bulletin. Let me look and see. Yeah, sure enough, Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When you get to eternity, I don't care if your name's Adoniram Judson or whatever it is, and you know what he went through. If you know anything about missions, he was one of the very first Baptist missionaries. Tremendous, tremendous results. Tremendous, tremendous tribulation. It doesn't matter who you are. When you step into eternity, if you suffered tribulation, if you had trouble in this world because you chose to serve Christ, you're going to say to anybody who will listen to you, it was worth it. In fact, the way Paul says it in that passage in Romans 8, he says, it doesn't even compare. Now, you and I today, we can talk about trouble we've had, persecution or illness or all the things that the devil tries to do to stop us. And we can think of those things and we can say, that was bad. But the Bible says that's nothing compared to what we're going to have in eternity. That, folks, there is a reward. It's worth it. It's more than worth it. So keep on going, Paul says to him there in Acts 14:22. He says, there's going to be tribulation. It's not unusual. If you are facing tribulation, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It probably means you're doing something right. And the devil's trying to stop you. We use that phrase sometimes, but at any rate, much tribulation, he says. That's what you're going to have to face. And then in verse 23, it says, they ordained them elders in every church. And let's just think about that for a minute. Here's Paul and his company, and they're going back down the route where they have been starting churches, and now they're going back to those churches, and they're making sure they got pastors. The word elder and the word pastor in the Bible, if you study it out, it's the same thing. And they're establishing leadership in those churches. And think about what they had to work with. You know, today, when the church looks for a pastor, a lot of the time they send letters out and they look all over the country. And you know how it was. I came from Maryland to Arizona to be the pastor here. That's not what they had to work with. They couldn't send letters out. There was no out to send them to. They had to find people in that company that were qualified to be the pastor. And somebody had to say, I'm willing to sacrifice perhaps my job, perhaps depending on the size of the church, a lot of things, so that I can take that responsibility to lead that church. And folks, there were people willing to do that. I have a question for you. Of course, the ladies here can sit this one out. But men, would you be willing to say, if you were the beginning of a group of 10 or 15 people that got saved in Lystra or Derbe or Iconium, and would you be willing to say, yeah, I would leave the life that I had and be the pastor of that church? Amen? Somebody had to. Oh, no, that's the wrong way to say it. Somebody got to, because the rewards are tremendous. So they go through these cities they've been in. They confirm the disciples. They exhort them to continue in the faith. They explain to them that there's going to be tribulation. They establish elders in these churches. And then in verse 23, and had prayed with fasting. Folks, talked about this a lot lately. A lot of things come back down to prayer, don't they? Why would God bless? Bible says you have not because you ask not. Have you been asking? We're asking God to bless our vacation Bible school this week. I saw the pictures that Cassie posted of her classroom that she's decorated, and a lot of work went into that. And she was commenting on Facebook that she'd wipe the dust off your teacher hat or something like that, you know. Yeah, put your hat back on. That's what she said, okay? But I'm thinking to myself, I hope God sends her just the right number of children. And folks, God can do that. I was so glad tonight I got the good news. Mrs. Dahlman's helping with registration this year. Mrs. Dahlman is more organized when it comes to VBS registration than anybody I've ever met in my life. And I know it's going to get done right. And I know she'll be there, and I know she'll make sure that everything, and we'll be tomorrow night at about 6:15. We'll be running around counting heads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many did you get? How many did you get? And then Mrs. Dahlman will say, we've got 86. And we'll be counting heads, and we'll say, oh, hey, we've got 86. Yeah, that's what she said we had. And but, you know, tomorrow night, whatever God sends us, that's up to him. Now, he might send us 40. He might send us 100. We'll see. But whatever he sends us, he's the one that does the work. And so what's happening here is, it says that they prayed and they fasted. And the point was, it all comes back to God and our commitment to him. And that's where fasting comes in. And we won't spend time on that right now. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. In other words, you have the confirmation early on. Now you got this commendation. Think about that missionary. What he does is he starts a church and they might never go there again. What'll keep that church going? You say, well, there got to be some really determined people. Well, that helps a lot. But God's got to keep it going, doesn't he? And we might remember that. We need to do our part. You see our part there. You see the confirmation in verse 22 and the exhortation and the explanation in verse 22. But now what they're saying is ultimately it's up to God. And I have to remember that, and you do too, that when we lead a soul to Christ, when we do our part, and sometimes we don't, but when we do our part, it's really up to God. And folks, they belong to him. Aren't you glad you belong to God? Amen? So there was this beginning of this return home, if you will. They're finishing their journey. They ordain the elders in verse 23. They commend them to the Lord in whom they believe. And then in verse 24, they do what every missionary does. They travel. They pass throughout Pisidia. They came to Pamphylia. And so they're kind of reversing the route that they took. They preached the word in Perga. They never stopped preaching. They went down into Italia and they sailed to Antioch. And Antioch is the place where they had started. And so now they're headed home. They ended strong. They didn't stop preaching. Missionaries keep on preaching. Amen. And they sailed back to Antioch. This is an interim stop. If you know the life of Paul, he's going to take two more missionary journeys. And we're going to look at those as we go through the book of Acts. But even missionaries, especially I should say for missionaries, there's a time when they need to rest. Now, think about this just for a minute. Let's say you're a missionary and God calls you to, somebody pick a nation. Somebody pick a good nation here. Israel. Okay, God calls you to Israel. That's a tough one. It's hard to get in. And you got to be quiet about it because if they find out you're coming, they won't let you in. So God calls you to Israel. What's the first thing you do? The fasting and praying has taken place. You know God's called you. You know where you're going. Now what do you do? What do you think? Raise support. There you go. That's a good way to describe it. So this missionary, I've seen it done different ways. Most of them sell their house. Some of them get a travel trailer. Some of them stay in people's homes. There's pluses and minuses on both of those. But they get on the road and they travel around for hopefully not more than 2 years. And speaking candidly, if a missionary has been on deputation for more than about 4 years, something's wrong. They really ought to get to the field quicker than that. Something's not right. But anyway, they travel around for a couple of years. And our missionary that we're most familiar with is the missionary out of the church that my wife and I were in Maryland, a man named John Lacombe. And so he had been on deputation about a year and a half, a little less. And he got a phone call from Thailand. And the man says, visa slots have just opened up. That's the good news. The bad news is you got to be here in, I think it was 45 or 60 days and claim them or you won't get them. And he was only halfway through his deputation, a little bit more, 2/3, I guess is a better description. So what he did was he went to a church in Florida, And I remember the numbers pretty well. He needed about $800 a month in support. Most churches would support missionaries sometimes for $100, sometimes $75, sometimes $150. He goes to Florida. This church takes him on support. Guess how much? $800 a month. The bad news is if they drop you on the field, you're hurting pretty bad. But praise the Lord. And he went to the field. So you raise your support. You've been traveling here for a couple of years. You have a wife and children and all the complications of that. And you get to the field. And then what do? That's when the work really begins. Because picture yourself, if you've ever been to a country like Thailand, folks in Thailand, nobody is Christian. They're Buddhist. Everybody's Buddhist. They don't know what Christmas and Thanksgiving is, really. Christmas a little, Thanksgiving hardly at all. You want to buy a turkey in Thailand? Good luck. And so you go there, and what do? Well, you find a place to live, amen? And then what do? Start preaching the gospel. Door to door. Talk to folks. Give them a tract. Talk to them about the Lord. Invite them to come to church. In Thailand, they had a little side thing they did, not for the money, but for the spiritual aspect. They would offer free English classes. Oh, people like that, because if you can speak English in Thailand, you can get a better job. And so they'd have 20 or 30 people come, and guess what they would use to teach them English? The Bible. They'd teach them some English and then teach them the Bible. Every week, people would get saved. So now, 2 or 3 or 4 years go by, and you've been working hard. Now, this is a lot more condensed than what we have today. So you were out traveling for 2.5 years, and you found 50 or 60 churches that would support you. 50 is not a bad number. And so now you've been on the field for about 3 or 4 years, working every day hard. All the evangelism and preparing for services and sweeping the floors and getting the building ready and putting the chairs up and putting the chairs down and teaching kids classes and preparing lessons in another language, by the way. I left that part out. They have to learn the language. And so now you've been there for 3 or 4 years. What do? You come home and you travel for a year to all these churches that you just went to report to them. And then you go back and do it again. That's the life of a missionary. Folks, that's much tribulation. You see a man like Nelson Dorr who comes up here, and he makes it look easy. He's got a church now that runs 300 or 400 or 500 on a Sunday, and they see souls saved every week, and they've got ministries all over the valley up there and in the villages, and they've got a Bible Institute, and they've got an orphanage, and they've got a school, and they've got all these things. That's 30 years of work you're talking about there. So this picture of Paul showing us is a very condensed version of this. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of what missionaries endure. And the point is, they need a little rest too, don't they? So watch what happens here, and I'm almost done. I'm out of time. They return home, and in verse 27, when they were come, they gathered the church together and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, I just mentioned 2 or 3 things. One, it's a missionary's job to report. It's our job to do something with that. And what we do, of course, is we listen and we support them and we pray for them. But look at verse 28. This is really important. There they abode long time with the disciples. In other words, they stopped in Antioch and they took a break. Now, I know they were still serving God. I know they were still going to church. I know they were still teaching. I know they were still talking to folks and telling them about the mission work and getting ready for the next trip and all the rest. But they had a spell that they could spend with their church where they could just get refreshed. Now, I got to ask you a question. We don't have any missionaries out of our church. But when the missionaries come, do you understand it is our job to refresh them? Amen? How do you do that? Mostly, as much as anything else, by being there and listening to them and talking to them. I've told you this story, so I'll be brief. I was in Thailand. We had jet lag. It was 4 p.m. on a Sunday, and there was a missionary. Ricky Salmon was his name, I think, and if it's the right one. And we were in his home. It's 4 p.m. on Sunday. If you've ever had jet lag, Thailand is 12 hours different from the East Coast. At about 4 a.m, your mind just shuts down. It's time to go to sleep. And so you're having a hard time even talking. That was okay. He just wanted us to listen to him. And he talked and talked and talked and talked and talked, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. This fella needs fellowship. Amen? Because when he's been in Thailand with the Thai people for so long, in their culture, in their language, working with them, working with them, working with them, he needs some refreshing. You know, you can be refreshing to a missionary without having them come talk to you. Send them an email. Write them a letter. At Christmas time, send them a little gift. You can't imagine what a blessing that can be. For example, somebody here could get a package of seeds, I think that's okay, and send them to a missionary, send them to the Trails in Iran, or in Iraq, I mean in Baghdad. And you say, well, what would they do? They'd look at those seeds and they'd think, somebody cares. We care, don't we? And they'd plant those seeds, and they'd water them, and they'd go to them every day and look at them, and they'd think, somebody cares. Somebody thought about us. Somebody's praying for us. And they'd watch those little seeds grow, and they'd realize, somebody loves us. We're not in this by ourselves. Amen? Now, listen to me. You're not in it by yourself. I'm not in it by myself. God put us together. Let's be there for each other. Let's be there and do the same thing that Paul was receiving from these missionaries. So there was the return home. There was the rehearsal. They told him what God had done. Then there was the refreshing, abiding with the disciples a long time. It's a little taste of heaven, because here's what's going to happen. One of these days, hopefully today, but sooner or later, the Lord's going to come back and take us home to be with him. And you're going to spend all eternity talking about how good God is. First of all, he saved you. And then he used you. And then he gave you fruit. And then he got you through the tribulation. And then he gave you folks to have around you to strengthen you. And folks, that's what serving God's all about. Tonight, in just a moment, we're going to have a fellowship with Mark Hall. And I've done this countless times. I personally have been involved in several to where they did this when I was leaving. And just to say goodbye, not goodbye, farewell forever, but for a season, amen? Because our life's like a vapor. It's a very short thing. We'll be back together again someday. But we love each other. And when someone leaves, it makes us sad that we won't see them again for a while, sort of like Paul to the Ephesian elders in Acts 19. Or when someone comes, it makes us happy because we can be a blessing to someone new and they can be a blessing to us. You see, in the middle of the work here, there is the camaraderie is the best word I can think of. There's that dependence we have on one another. Missionaries need it. Pastors need it. People need it. We do this for each other. Amen? That's really the heart of missions. What keeps it going right there is this refreshing at the end of the book, at the end of the chapter. And then we're going to have chapter 15. And you know what's going to happen? In chapter 16 and verse 40, they're going to depart. In fact, before that, they're going back out again. And they'll keep on going until God's done with them. Paul's got another job to do in his life before it's over. But let's just keep on going, amen? Let's all stand and pray.